Ramsey TV.
Just going to warn you ahead of time, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see a new Romans chapter 8 that you've never seen before. You may have read this dozens of times, but when you look at this with new eyes of what Paul means when he says according to the flesh and according to the spirit, it's going to be so obvious to you. And we've been talking about this already for a couple weeks, so you're trained now to see this. I'm not adding anything to it. It speaks when you can get those religious glasses off that you were trained in whatever religious institution you grew up in, and you see this with new eyes. My name is Martin Zender. That's what the MZ on MZTV stands for. I've been making sense for a living since 1993. I made sense before that too. I just didn't do it for a living. See, I was an amateur sense maker. Now I'm a professional sense maker. I will have to introduce my new glasses today. Let me show you this. I don't generally like to wear glasses, but I'm going to tell you why I have to wear these today. How about that? Do I look professorial? Do I look professorial? That's all I care about, see? Now, I also care about seeing, because I'm going to be going through Romans chapter 8. I didn't even get past verse 1 yesterday. That's generally what happens to me. But this is what my Romans chapter 8 looks like in my scriptures. That's my problem here. This is what I'm dealing with. Whoops. This is what I'm dealing with. So, I've discovered, God gave me the spirit to understand this truth about what it means to walk according to flesh and according to spirit. It might have been 1989. So those marks have been in there for a while. So here we go. Romans chapter 8. Paul begins again by saying, "Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit." What does God mean? What does Paul mean? What does the Holy Spirit mean when it says according to flesh and according to spirit? The word according in the Greek, there's two English elements here, and the elements are down as. That might seem strange. The key word there is down. And I'm not kidding you, but this has the sense of, yeah, man, I'm down with that plan. Hey, let's go get pizza. I'm down with that. I'm in accord with that. I'm like tied into that. I'm going in the same direction that thing is going. That's the sense of it. The root word is down. So not down with the flesh. Let's go back. Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Those in Christ Jesus are those who have a special revelation. God gives us a super dose of the Spirit in order to understand spiritual things. So this is for us in the body of Christ. It's not that this information is not true broadly and absolutely, but it's especially true for us because we understand it. So those in Christ Jesus, which thankfully, this is us, nothing is condemnation to us. Why? How? Because not according to, not down with flesh are they walking, but down with spirit. And this does not mean those who are down with the flesh, it does not mean that they're playing with the flesh. It does not mean that they're indulging in the flesh. It just means that they're disposed to the flesh, and I'm going to prove that later on. I got to do that in this show because you're going to see it's a beautiful thing. Paul explains what he means. Well, I'm going to do it right now. I'm just going to give you the end at the beginning here. Verse 5, because this is the key. If you go through this and you don't get to verse 5, you're going to get the wrong idea of what it means to be walking according to spirit or walking according to flesh. Verse 5, I'm skipping ahead three verses here. For those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of the flesh. Yet those who are in accord, that is down with the Spirit, to that which is of the Spirit. So it's not that you're necessarily indulging the flesh, it's that you're walking in a way that you're disposed to it. The word disposed means that you're inclined. You're inclined to the things of the flesh. And the flesh, we're going to see later, is at enmity with God. And the flesh is that part of you that would really inspire you to do great religious feats. We forget this. We forget that a big part of the flesh in humanity is its need, its want to do great religious feats for God and Christ. Okay, let's go back now to verse 3, and then we're going to let this thing expand. Not according to flesh are they walking. Remember, there is now no condemnation. There is now no condemnation. So you, as you sit there or as you drive your car watching or listening to this show, you are now under no condemnation. But wait a minute, you're still sinning, are you not? Yes, you are still sinning. But in spite of that, there's no condemnation. So how can there be no condemnation? It's because you're not walking according down with flesh. You're not disposed to the flesh. And it's the flesh. It's the flesh that will tell you you're condemned. The flesh of humanity, inspired by Satan, will insist to you that you are condemned. It will insist to you that you're condemned because it wants you to engage it so that you'll take your eyes off Christ. That's what I've been saying. But now we're just getting another roadmap to it, more details of it. Nothing consequently is now. As you walk, as you sin, we try not to sin. Honestly, we do, but we try not to, but we fail. That doesn't matter to this truth. It doesn't matter to this truth because you are now not condemned. How could this be? Because you're not walking in accord with, that is, you're not disposed to anything of the flesh. You're not listening to the flesh. The flesh sucks. It's weak. It's crumbling constantly. It's always going to gripe. It's always going to complain. It's always going to tell you you're not doing enough. You should do more. Why don't you feel guilty? We never see flesh as that. We always see flesh as, oh, he's eating too much. He's smoking. He's drinking. He's sinning. He's lying. He's cheating. He's stealing. Flesh, flesh, flesh. That is also flesh. Yes, that is flesh. But the flesh Paul is dealing with in Romans 8 is that part of humanity that would exalt itself above God. That part of humanity is self-righteous. That's flesh also. That's the stinkiest flesh there is. That's some rotten flesh right there, boys and girls. Rotten flesh. But we never think of that. We never think of flesh in that way. But see, this is your walk. This is your disposition. So let's go on. Not according to flesh are they walking, and we're not walking in accord with flesh. That means we're not sinning. No, it doesn't. It just means we're not listening to it. We've already established that sin has nothing to do with us being declared righteous and not condemned. It would have everything to do with it if Christ didn't die for sin, if Christ didn't take away the old humanity. So here we go. For the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. Frees you. Now, frees you. Not according to flesh are they walking, but according to Spirit. Yeah, I need to emphasize that part after not according to flesh. If we're not walking in according to flesh, then what fills that vacuum of not attending to the flesh? This, you're walking according to Spirit. And from verse 5, we find out that you're disposition is of the Spirit. So you're listening to what the Spirit has to say. The Spirit of God in you confirms to you that God's words concerning you are true, that there's now, therefore, no condemnation. And if you, the only way you can have no condemnation, the only way, is if God considers your sin to be gone. And He does. This is Salvation 101. This is Body of Christ 101. So, not according to flesh are members of the body of Christ walking, but according to Spirit are the members of the body of Christ walking, you, me. For the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus, this is in Christ Jesus, frees you from the law of sin and death. For what was impossible, verse 3, what was impossible to the law, any law, specifically here the law of Moses, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the just requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us who are not walking in accord with flesh, but in accord with spirit. I might not get past verse 4 for the rest of the show. That's why I wanted to give you verse 5 to define what it means to be walking according to flesh and according to spirit. It means that you're disposed to that which is of flesh, or you're disposed to that which is of spirit. Now let's back up. The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus, our glorified Savior, frees you. This is stuff that's happened in Christ Jesus. We're freed because of Christ Jesus. We are freed from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is that sin is missing the mark, and we miss the mark because we're dying. Death and sin go hand in hand. Adam sins, and then mortality began working in him, and he passed on mortality to the rest of us, and we sin because we're mortal. We're not mortal because we sin. We sin because we are mortal. Adam was the first person ever who sinned first. Then mortality came. Since then, he has transmitted mortality to us. Okay, that's actually Romans 5. I'll go ahead and read that. You can see why I'm having a problem here, too. That's why I'm having a problem here. Got a little problem here. Death passed through into all humanity, on which all sinned. It was death that passed onto humanity, and all sinned because of that. So sin and death work hand in hand, and it's a law. It's a law that if you're mortal, you will sin. If you're mortal, you will sin, period. When we're made immortal, it will be impossible for us to sin. Paul doesn't even need to say, when he says that this mortal must put on immortality, he doesn't even need to say, and then you won't sin anymore. It's a given. You can't sin. As human beings now, being made immortal, it will be impossible for us to sin. I just read to you from Romans 5, that was verse 12, that it was death that passed through to us, that is mortality, and because we're mortal, we sin. Death is the petri dish in which sin grows. Death is the environment, the perfect environment for sin. It's a law. It's a law. But the Spirit has another law. You know what the Spirit's law is? Screw that. That's the Spirit's law. Screw sin and death. We've done something about it. That's the Spirit's law of life. That's the Martin Zender definition. The Martin Zender international symbol for screw the law of sin and death, because we have another law operating. I'm not saying law of sin and death isn't operating. I'm saying that the contemporaneous with that is another law. Another law. You know what the law, that law is? The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus. That's where we live. We're disposed to that. We hear that. We heed that. We understand it, and we camp there. We put down our stakes in the Spirit's law of life, and it gives the finger to the law of sin and death. Where's my finger? There it is. There it is. There it is. That's what you owe the flesh. That's what you owe the law of sin and death. Is it in focus, my finger? Is my fingernail clean on that finger? Not too good. Well, I do what I can. The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. Even while it's operating, you're free from it. I mean, you're not free from its influence, but you're free from being condemned by it. I'll say that again. You're not free from its influence. It's still happening to you, but you can give it to Bird because there's another law. And this law is more powerful than the law of sin and death. The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus. What is that? Well, for one thing, it frees you from the law of sin and death. Here is the law of life in Christ Jesus. Are you ready for this? Verse 3. For what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, Paul proved this in the previous chapter, Romans 7. Nothing wrong with the law. The law is perfect and holy, but it was infirm. The only reason it was infirm is because it's infirm in combination with flesh. Because flesh can't do the law. Flesh can't do the law. When is anybody in the body of Christ? I mean, we get it, but those who are sniffing around the body of Christ, thinking they're in the body of Christ, talking like they're in the body of Christ, they don't understand this. When are they going to get the fact that flesh and blood cannot do the things of the law? What was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. I have that circled here, right back in Romans chapter 8. Here it is. You see how I have that circled? Did God. Okay, let me see that. You see that? You see that? It's verse 3. Frees you from the law of sin and death. Are you with me? For what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. You see how I have that circled? Did God. God did something. God did it. That's the law of life in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was sent by God, if I need to remind you of that. We're going to see that here. Watch this. What was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. And you disappear here. Right now, Paul's launching on something where you have nothing to do with any of this. Are you ready for this? Did God, sending his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh, he wasn't a sinner himself, but he came in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, thanks for the redundancy, Paul, he came concerning sin. This goes back to the very foundation of the gospel, which is Christ died for our sins. Do you see the topic here? The topic is sin. Are you seeing that? He came in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, he condemns sin. Condemn in the Greek, down judge. He down judged. He looked at sin and he goes, "Oh, you're getting a negative judgment here. I'm saying that you're done. This is no good." He condemns sin in the flesh. That, why did he do that? So that, verse 4, the just requirements of the law, not the law itself, but the requirements of the law, which was love, mainly, may be fulfilled in us. Well, how the hell does that happen? I didn't think flesh was able to fulfill the law of God. It's fulfilled in us who are not walking in accord with flesh. That is, we're not depending on our flesh for anything. We're not hoping on our flesh for anything. We're not exalting our flesh in any manner whatsoever, but in accord with spirit. Verse 5, for those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of the flesh. Yet those who are in accord with spirit disposed to that which is of spirit. Verse 6, I got to finish with this pretty soon. For the disposition of the flesh is death. The disposition of the flesh is death. So if you're disposed to the flesh, we're going to see this at the end of Romans 6 when I get back there. If you're disposed to the flesh, you're disposed to death, because that's where flesh is going. It's going to the grave. It stinks. It's putrefying. It has mortality coursing through it. So screw it. Screw it. It has mortality coursing through it. Who likes mortality? Not me. I hate it. It's happening, but screw it. Screw it. I'm according to the Spirit's law of life. And the Spirit's law of life has to do with what God did in sending his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh and condemning sin in the flesh. Condemning it. So I still have flesh and I still sin, but Christ condemned it. So this goes along, ties perfectly with the destruction of the old humanity. Our old humanity was crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6. For the disposition of the flesh is death, yet the disposition of the Spirit, what do you think that is? If the disposition of the flesh is death, what do you think the disposition of the Spirit is? The disposition of the Spirit is life. And wait till you hear what follows. It's life. We just found out the disposition of the flesh is death, period. Now we find out yet, and I'm in verse 6 of Romans 8, yet the disposition of the Spirit is life and peace. The disposition of the Spirit is life and peace. And when you understand this, it will have practical result. And that result will be peace. I will tie up the rest of this on Monday, but I leave you with the greatest gift that you can have in this chaotic life, and that would be peace. You can't invent this peace. You can't force this peace upon yourself. The only way this peace comes is by understanding these truths. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it comes by spiritually, by understanding, by means of the Spirit, these truths that I'm bringing you. That there's now, therefore, no condemnation. And it happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. Obviously, it was not in accord or because of anything we did, but it was something that God did in sending His Son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and He, on the cross, condemned sin in the flesh. So why are we still thinking along those lines? We have been delivered from thinking along those lines because the Spirit of life and the Spirit of peace lives in us, and this is one of the greatest gifts of God, to understand this, that you can have in this life.